My name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like to do a commentary on those verses in chapter 6. I'll quickly go through some of the things that I said this morning again. In the first part of chapter 6, Paul is speaking to the family, and he's saying to the children that they should obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, and also to honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And definitely I know that that is speaking to families, but for me personally, it also speaks in my relationship to those that the Lord has placed in authority over me. I shared this morning how it was extremely hard for me to get a sponsor when I first got in the 12-step program. And even after I finally got one, the very first ones that I had, I was kind of half-hearted about my relationship with them and how I turned my food over and still held back a lot of things from them. And it wasn't until I got beat up with the food enough and just kind of crawled back into the rooms and realized that I could not do it myself that I became willing to follow the directions from a sponsor, to really follow it, and to stop trying to weasel my way out of it. And so I learned how to show honor to those who had that type of authority, that I had given them that type of authority. And I realized that the way that I show honor is through obedience. That's the best way to do what they asked me to do and not to try to, like I said, squirm my way out of it. And I know the same thing is true about the relationship that I have with my husband. One of the things that I learned in the Bible is that the Lord has his line some authority, and it's not that one person is better than the other, it's just that it makes for order in a situation, and it helps in relationships. And so I find that when he asks me to do something, then a lot of times I have to swallow my pride, you know, and to do it, or to hold my tongue and not to usurp his authority. There's still a part of me that wants to give minute directions to him, and that's really not my place, you know. And so I'm learning just to let things be, because I realize that anyone who is an authority, they have to answer to the Lord. And so I don't have to even worry about whether it's going to turn out right or wrong or whatever. I give him my opinion, and I give it respectfully, and then I let it go. I've had to do that in many jobs, too. It's hard to do that, I find, in jobs, not to undermine or, again, you know, not do it in the right way. Even, you know, in teaching, like, you know, directives have come down from the headmaster or the principal or whoever is an authority. And there's a part of me that still wants to do it my way, but I'm learning to obey them. As it says in verse 6, it says that obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. And so that is a biggie for me, to not want to live a life of duplicity. I don't want to live that life anymore where I have this secret life, you know, that I have this life that I portray before people, and then I have this life that I live on my own. I don't like that. I don't want that for myself. I want to live fearlessly, and it's fear that keeps me hiding from people, hiding from myself, hiding from God. I don't want that. In the beginning in verse 10, And that is such a huge teaching. There's so much in there. In fact, one of the longest Bible verses that I have remembered, that I put to memory, is that our armor of God, the one that begins with verse 14. And it makes me think of Bible memory, because when I first started memorizing the Bible, I honestly thought that I could not do it. I thought I was just too old to memorize. And I remember coming to one of these meetings. This was quite a few years ago, because these meetings have been going on for 11, this is the 11th year, yeah. And I remember saying to the group, I said, please pray for me that I have this willingness and strength to memorize the word, because I was beginning to understand how important that was. I knew how important it was just from reading the Bible, when I think about when Jesus went through the temptation in the desert, that when the evil one attacked him, he answered back in scripture. And so I knew that I needed to get that arsenal going, you know, in my own life, that because I dealt a lot with what I call the voices. I have always had that. The people call it the committee or whatever. It's just that it's the voice in my head that I cannot do things good enough, right enough, you know, whatever. And so I have learned that the armor of God, the word of God, is my best protection. And so I did ask people, and that particular verse, I remember I had to learn it by marching. I had to kind of find a rhythm in it, and then I found the rhythm like a kid. I kind of made almost like a little sing-song out of it, until I memorize that. And I find that it helps me a whole lot. It helps me in that verse. It tells me to stand firm. I'm one that I get afraid. I run. I want to run. That was what I did with the food. When things got too much for me, I ran into the food. You know, I ate. When it was too, when the heat came up, that's what I did. I ate. And so the Lord is teaching me how to stand firm. And I'm grateful for the belt of truth that is buckled around my waist, both the truth that I learned in the Word and also the truth who has a name, Jesus Christ. And the breastplate of righteousness. I'm righteous again because of His blood that was shed on my behalf, and I'm grateful for what He did for me. And it says, my feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The more I drink in the understanding of the gospel of peace, I was trying to share that with some of my students. I can get very bold in the very end, and I actually am teaching. One of the places that I teach is a Christian school, and but I'm still sometimes not always, I don't know how far I can go in terms of just being, you know, I'm spreading the gospel, and because I realize that those kids, some of them, their parents know the Lord, but they don't necessarily know the Lord. And on Thursday, a nice thing happened to me right before the meeting. When I was getting ready for the meeting, the Lord really did give me a word, and it was that those letters I had written about on the loop about SSCCSS. And I teach math, and so when I came to class, the last thing I told them was about S squared, C squared, and S squared. And I, you know, I started talking. And as I was talking, I was thinking about that middle, those two middle C's, CC, when I'm thinking about the gospel, about Christ and the cross, and how it was important for me to have that understanding, to realize that in the Bible, at the very beginning, in Genesis, when the fall came, when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, and that was, and that trust was broken, and and sin came into the world, that even then a Messiah was promised. And so Christ is the Messiah. He is, you know, he is the promised one. And his cross is reflective again of what I see in the Old Testament, the whole system of sacrifice, you know, where they had sacrifices of animals, but when Jesus came, he was the supreme sacrifice. He was the unblemished lamb, and it is finished, as he said on the cross. It is definitely finished. And when I realize that he has done all of that, and I have accepted that, and it is mine, it is a gospel of peace, and it gives me a confidence to express that, to talk to people about it. I don't feel ashamed of it. It's a very wonderful, wonderful thing to do. And if he calls me to do it, I pray to keep stepping up to the plate to do it. And it says to take up the shield of faith. And in Hebrews it talks about, you know, faith being, you know, what, you know, believing what we cannot see, what I cannot often see, but I have that hope that what is promised will come. And he has given me that faith. In another part of Ephesians, when we were in Ephesians chapter 2, and it talked about the faith, you know, that so that no one can boast. It was given, you know, so that no one can boast. I can't boast of the faith that I have in the Lord. If anything, it's a testimony to myself that the Spirit is doing that for me. Me who has the knocking knees, you know, who came through life with knobby knees that knock together all the time for fear of people and what they could do to me, you know. I've shared about having a handicap and how people who didn't even know me would always have a handy put down. And so I grew up really having a big fear of people, fearful of what they would say to me or how they would embarrass me. And so to me, to have faith and to have boldness about the faith is a testimony to me of the Lord being true to his word, that as I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, he has placed the Spirit in me. And it says here to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And I pray in the Spirit when I remember my salvation, and I remember that God is listening, and he's listening so attentively again because what his Son has done on my behalf. And it says, always keep on praying for all the saints. This week I was thinking about suffering saints. I even had to go back and listen to a tape that I had sent one time on the 90 days from Elizabeth Elliot about suffering. And how she feels suffering is the ultimate gift of love. That's what Jesus did for us. And when we walk in his footsteps, we will suffer. And I like her definition of suffering. She said, you know, suffering is having something that you don't want or wanting something that you don't have. That's what she said is suffering. And she says, as Christians, we are going to find ourselves in that situation all the time. When we have something that we don't want, whether it's pain, physical pain, or a job that we hate, or a relationship that's gone sour, or we want something that we don't have, you know. For me, wanting a different job that's not so wearing, or, you know, just a lot of things that I could, you know, want. But right now the Lord says no. And so I know I'm not alone. And so I keep praying for all the saints, all the people who know Jesus, who are suffering in this life, because this isn't heaven yet. You know, we are not in heaven yet, but we will be in heaven because Jesus promised that. He promised that he has made a place for us, and he's coming back to take us to be with him so that we also may be where he is. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to